Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I am joined today by my dear Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
How has your weekend been treating you?
Oh, girl, I went to prom, so I'm having a great weekend. I got to see all my little nuggets dressed up. They're so cute.
Aw.
Did you go to prom? I have a question. Did you go to prom?
I went to my junior prom, but not my senior prom.
Okay. Do you recall, because I know this was a while ago, sorry, not to dox your age or anything, but, do you remember, like, after the King and Queen announced, did everybody dip?
A lot of people dipped, but, because there was, like, a lot of after parties and stuff, but I was a good kid. So I went to like a church lock-in for my after party, and I think we didn't leave until like the end of the dance.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed with that. Like literally last night, 9:30 announced they do the prince and princess, king and queen. And then as soon as that was over, like they maybe stayed for the rest of the song and then they all dipped except for like 6 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, 7 maybe, and then even they were probably gone by 9:45.
Yeah, like not
the dance. The dance was only like 8 to 10, which I feel is short. Like that means those girls got all dressed up like that, spent all that money for an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, I'm sure their after party was lit, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, but they all changed in the sweat. I mean, listen, if I'm spending that much money on a dress, I'm wearing it forever.
Oh, totally. I loved my dress. I had a white sparkly dress that my gay boyfriend basically picked for me. Like, he told me what he wanted me to wear, a white dress. So I was like, okay. So I had no choice in the matter. I just, like, went out and found the prettiest white dress because he told me to.
Yeah. My senior prom, my dress was, like, amazing. It was, like, a black and white deal. I wore a feather boa. I had a cane with skulls on it. And I wore long black gloves. Coolest person on earth. With bright pink eyeshadow, because I was emo, you know.
Right.
Of course, naturally.
I mean, obviously.
Anyways, that's how my weekend's been going. Went to church today with my grandparents. Dropped them off at their bestie's house. Grandma was super worried about me because I just don't feel very good. And she's like, "Oh, what do you want? You want a salad for lunch?" I was like, "Grandma, I'm not partaking of lunch right now." She's very cute. They're adorable and old. But how's your weekend? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been prepping for a yard sale that we're having in a couple weeks. So yesterday I just did a shit ton of laundry and purged some stuff in my room to put in the sale. Because next weekend is my birthday, and then the weekend after that is the yard sale. So.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's been pretty chill. And then tonight, having family over. And having a big dinner, so I'm looking forward to that. We're having pie and lasagna, and like, hell yeah.
Pie.
Yeah, apple pie. And then for my birthday, you know how I am about cake. I could take her to leave it. So for my birthday, I asked for a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm super psyched.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I should... talk to you and Heather and see if we can FaceTime sometime next weekend just to
bullshit. I'll be home on your birthday.
Like, oh yeah, you're walking.
Yes,
that's right.
But it's at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh wow.
So I think we're gonna go to we're going to go do that, and then I'm going to try to drag my mom to Jungle Gyms, because why not? It's the crazy grocery store in Cincinnati, if you're not aware. I know you're aware, but I meant your listeners.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to try to do that, and then I'm going to try to head home and get back pretty early, but I kind of also want to go to Kids Cabaret, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. That's awesome. If not, I'll just FaceTime you while I'm driving. I don't care.
Don't do as we do, kids. Do as we say, not as we do.
I, hey, it would be completely hands-free. It's fine.
That's true.
Anyway.
Well, today, I kind of wanted to just bullshit about a couple different movies, because they share a theme. So two movies came out this year that are very, very different, thematically and content wise, but they both are reimaginings of the Frankenstein trope and both deal with women's sexuality. And I found that interesting. So I kind of wanted to spitball about that. We're going to be talking about Poor Things and Lisa Frankenstein. So full disclosure, I've only seen Poor Things once and I've seen Lisa Frankenstein twice. Of the two, I prefer Lisa Frankenstein, which is funny because Lisa Frankenstein has like a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes and Poor Things has like a 92% and was nominated for all these Oscars.
Which is wild because it wasn't that good.
I didn't think it was that good either. Thank you. I feel so validated. It's,
no, like, okay. It is good. Like, I'm not saying it's not good. Like, I liked it. It's beautiful. Absolutely stunning. It's too long.
Oh, absolutely. It is 2 hours and 21 minutes, and that is ridiculous.
And 75% of it is fucking, which is awesome, but also too much.
A little much.
Too much. The end is rushed, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the end is rushed.
It has a weird third act that's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it could have. We'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, conversely, you and I both really enjoyed Lisa Frankenstein.
Loved it.
There were a couple times we watched it together with Heather, and there were a couple different times that during it we just all kind of looked at each other and were like, this is the greatest movie ever, right? Like, we're all on board here. Like, yes, this is fantastic.
Yeah. They're like, sorry, I had to get up and move this piece of plastic because it's like blowing in the fan and it's driving me insane.
You're fine.
Anyways, like, yeah, it was, and I don't know if it's like some 80s movie nostalgia that made it so good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it was that.
It was just, it was a vibe. It was just an aesthetic and a vibe and very much made for creepy girls like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I clocked that from when I first saw the trailer. I saw the trailer in January when I was home. I remember laying in my guest in the guest room at Lacey's house and seeing the trailer for the first time and being like, oh, absolutely. I was like, yeah. I'm so on board. So anyone not familiar, Lisa Frankenstein is the directorial debut of Zelda Williams, who is Robin Williams' daughter. I think she did a great job. I think it had a great aesthetic and I mean, all the performances were really good. It was just, I loved it. Poor Things is, was written and directed by, how do you say his last name? Yorgos?
Langanos?
Something like Lanthimos? That? Yeah, something like that. Who's a very renowned director. Have you seen any of his other films?
No.
I've seen a couple of them. They are weird. He's weird. And I That's mean fine. That in a good way. Yeah, like he's cool. And
I said, I think Poor Things is visually stunning.
Yeah. What is your opinion on the style aesthetic that they chose for Poor Things? Because it's like a steampunky, like Edwardian.
I'm completely into that. I loved it.
I wonder what the motivation was, because this is based on a book, and I don't know if the book it takes place in a weird, like pseudo future Edwardian clash type deal. I think it was aesthetically pleasing to look at, but I didn't quite buy why it had to be that way. You know what I mean? Like, it could have just been it could have just been Edwardian. You know what I mean? And I think that aesthetic would have been cool on its own. But it's kind of like a in the future, but not really.
Yeah, I don't know if they. I took it at face value. I was just like, hell yeah, this is the world that we live in. I'm down to clown. Like, that's what I just liked it.
Yeah, I think that is probably the case for most people. I'm just picky and weird. I don't know. I think I just need motivations for certain things.
Yeah, sure.
Especially since this is the first of Yorgo's movies that I've seen. Anyway, I haven't seen all of his movies, but I've seen a few where he had a heightened aesthetic and a heightened reality. Like, usually they're...
Oh.
Like, there's elements, like in Killing of a Sacred Deer, there's some magical realism, but it's kind of played for horror's sake. Like, things happen that have no explanation, but that makes them eerie. Mm-hmm. But it's still set in, like, a contemporary vibe. And that's the first thing I saw with Barry Keoghan. Kjof, whatever the fuck his name is. Hot Irish guy from Saltburn. We know who we're talking about.
Hey, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So, yeah, I don't know if I...
Is he hot, though? Sorry.
Yes, we discussed this at Saltburn. He's like, weirdo hot.
Ugly hot.
He's ugly hot. Okay. And he's dating Sabrina Carpenter, who I'm madly in love with, so...
I really clocked her as lesbian. Or queer.
Yeah. No, I wish. But yeah, I don't know. Now, meanwhile, the aesthetic in Lisa Frankenstein is a very conscious pastiche. Everything from the style to even the name, which a lot of people assume it's like a Lisa Frank pun. Mm-hmm. But the writer, Diablo Cody, who did Jennifer's Body and Juno, she actually has said that that was just a coincidence, and she chose the name Lisa as a homage to the character Lisa from Weird Science.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but even if it That's was a funny. Conscious thing, yeah, even if it was conscious, Lisa Frankenstein in itself evokes, like, our childhood and our youth, so it works as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen Diablo Cody's other movies? Have you seen Juno and Jennifer's Body?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I love her as a writer.
Juno. I've seen some of Diablo, what's it called? Jennifer's Body. Body. I've seen some of it, yeah. Well, and I feel like I listened to a podcast, like, within the last couple of months that she was on talking about it, too. So.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
I like her a lot. I think she's interesting. She has an interesting voice.
Yeah.
Writing-wise. So this, like I said, The Poor Things was based on a book, which was written by a man. I don't know anything about it, really, or how close the movie was to the book. And Yorgos, of course, the writer and director, is also a man. And I don't want to belittle Emma's contribution, because I know she collaborates very closely with Yorgos, so her hand was very involved. But to me, at the end of the day, this was a movie made by men. and Lisa Frankenstein, written and directed by women. So I think it's funny that people are kind of talking about Poor Things being a feminist movie. And I want your opinion. Can a movie written and directed by men be a feminist movie? There's no right or wrong answer, just like in your estimation.
So, ideally, yes, because the man himself would be a feminist. But is that Yorgos? I don't know. Because I've already said that I think it was too long, and I think it was almost too focused on her sexuality. Do you know what I mean? It was too much. That makes me feel like a prude and like a puritan, but like it just felt like too much.
Right.
In an I get what he was trying to do. I think because he basically ended up showing her, like, showing how she got bored of it. Like, it was something she discovered, and then she began to get bored, and then she began to, like, enjoy it again when she started, like, being with her, like, socialist female partner or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. It just...
So, like, in theory, yes, but... That's not necessarily the case of Poor Things.
Yes. Yeah. In theory, I want to say yes, because I feel like I have to Pollyanna believe that some men can be feminists. Otherwise, I literally just don't know how to survive in the world, if that right. makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So it's more of a Pollyanna. Oh, Siri just chimed in. He says he doesn't understand. And I feel like I'm dumping on poor things. Like, I'm not. I liked it. I feel like we have to be critical of the things that we like.
Yeah, I agree. And when we're framing it in a discussion of it versus Lisa Frankenstein, I thought Lisa Frankenstein was more successful in things that they had in common. Like Lisa's story of sexuality felt true without being exploitative, which yeah. I felt like the sexuality in Poor Things was so graphic that it was a little more. I'm on the same page as you, where I don't want to come across like a prude, because I'm not one of those people that think that, oh, there's too much sex in movies and there shouldn't be sex portrayed in movies, blah, blah. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think that at all. It just, that was a little much.
It was a lot.
Well, and the thing was, is that like, I, because the third act felt so rushed, I needed more. I needed more build up to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, I mean, let's get into it. Spoilers for both movies from here on out. The ending of Poor Things, did you or did you not think that she was going to put Willem Dafoe's
yes!
brain in? I'm yes! sure that's what they wanted everyone to think. And then, you know, it was like, you know, what word am I thinking of? Whatever. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. Bait and switch. That's it. But man, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I don't know why she didn't do that, especially because he has that conversation with her about how his life, he's never been normal or never been handsome. And I was like, that guy's hot. So like, yeah, why doesn't she put his brain in that guy? But she didn't.
She didn't. I felt bad for Willem Dafoe's character.
Also, which, okay. Hold on, wait. I need to tell you about this. So you know how, in the movie, that he has to, like, manually burp and they come out in those big nasty bubbles?
Yeah.
That's what Manjaro burps feel like.
Aw.
That's what I was it just feels about to... like. He did that, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. Those burps are big nasty.
That was one of the things that I was like, that's kind of part of the fantastical elements of the movie. That was such a weird thing and a weird choice, and I didn't understand if it was just, I don't know if it was something from the book, but I was like, what is the point of this?
Yeah, no, I got you, but I mean, like, I guess part of it was like showing how cruel and fantastic, well, because the entire idea of Poor Things, like where you could take a baby brain and put it in an adult female body, like that in and of itself is fantastic. So I guess it just kind of sets the mood where there's this reality where weird science experiments can happen without any sort of like, you know, like without any sort yeah. of actual scientific reason. Because if you put a goat brain in a human body, like I don't think that he would have like bad like a goat. I just don't, because realistically, scientifically, I know that you can't transplant a goat brain into a human body. So I think it just kind of sets up this reality where anything is possible in science.
That's true. However, in most like Frankenstein adaptations, there isn't it's not placed in a heightened reality, even though yeah. we can't reanimate dead flesh as far as we know. Yeah.
just wait until we're all AI. Can't wait.
Ugh, Lord. Like, speaking of heightened realities, I like how silly Lisa Frankenstein is. While Diablo says that it's like in the same universe as Jennifer's body, and I think what she means by that, people are taking it too literally, but I think she just means this is a reality where there's demons and magic and things like that, because
yeah,
Lisa doesn't reanimate the creature like in a science experiment. She makes a wish and a lightning bolt hits his grave and he comes back to life. So there's like this yeah. magical element.
And then the magical tanning bed.
The magical tanning bed, which I think is like kind of magic, kind of science, like the idea where you're being electrically shocked and it's like reanimating parts of the flesh. I don't know. It's silly, but it worked for me. And I loved how he just kept getting, it was like he was getting baked. Every time he came out, he was a little fresher, a little more handsome, a little cleaner, a little like,
yeah.
So by the end, by the time they like make love, he's like not completely disgusting, but they still had a bug fall on him, fall on her. I was like, oh, okay. Can the bugs be gone?
No.
We have to have bugs. What did you think of, which damn Strauss boy was it? Hold on. It was
Cole, wasn't it?
Was it Cole?
I think it's Cole.
Why isn't he not listed on my... Cole. It was Cole. Yes, you're right. Because I've watched movies with Dylan recently, too, so I was getting him confused. I loved Cole's performance. I thought it was incredible.
It's the perfect role for a man. He didn't say a fucking word.
Cole studied with, like, mime performers and took it really seriously about, like, portraying his emotions through his body. I think he did a really good job.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. I think him and Catherine had really great chemistry. Catherine, I think, is hilarious. I love her and everything she's been in. Excuse me. The rest of the cast. Well, let's talk about the plot a little bit for Lisa Frankenstein. Okay. So, right, we start with this Lisa's backstory that her mom was murdered by just like a crazy Max wielding stranger that burst into their house. No payoff for that. I think we were all a little surprised there was no payoff. Because as soon as we found out that that happened and that the dad had remarried so fast, we're just like, oh, the dad did it. The dad organized a hit or something or was the killer. No payoff whatsoever. No explanation. Which in retrospect, I kind of like because it's just like horrible things just happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is true to life. Yeah. And, you know, Dottie, stop it. I'm tearing up the carpet. Dottie! Psst. Peanut's like, I'll get her. He ran after her.
Aww.
Thanks, Peanut. Thanks for the assist.
A good boy.
Yeah. But
the dad was fucking weird.
That actor is weird. He's like the disinterested 80s dad in Stranger Things too. He's getting a little typecast, to be honest.
It's fine. He knows how to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's believable. His relationship with Taffy made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was super freaking weird.
I hated that Taffy called him daddy. No.
Mm-hmm.
My stepfather has been my stepfather for a decade, and I still don't call him dad, let alone daddy.
Yeah.
In fact, if I ever refer to Gary as daddy, please put a bullet in my fucking head. I'm sure that was a conscious thing to make us squirm, but the fact that there was no payoff was a little odd. That'd be like one of a very few complaints about Lisa Frankenstein. Otherwise, I thought it was perfection. How did you like how they dealt with Lisa's sexuality in Lisa Frankenstein? Because that's like if you really think about it, that's like the main arc is like Lisa kind of has suicidal ideation, right? Because that's kind of where the wish comes from. She wishes she could be with him, but she doesn't mean, oh, I want him to come to life. She's like, I want to be dead.
Yeah.
So once the shit starts hitting the fan, she's just like, she resigned herself pretty soon. She's like, I'm going to be killed or put in prison. So like, I'm going to get that dick.
Yeah. She does feel that way.
Yeah, that's like her main motivation through the bulk of the movie.
Yeah. And well, like, and that's like it's how quintessential is it that she has a crush on a boy and then her stepsister is the one like being all like whatever with this dude.
Which you clocked immediately. Like, we were getting up to that reveal, and you're just like, oh, it's Taffy. I was like, oh, you're right. You were so right.
Yeah, well, it's obviously that had to happen, because she was being so mean to him, and it was like, okay, well, yeah, duh. Yeah, I liked it, because I think it's, like, especially for the girl that Lisa is, I think it was very, you know what I mean, like, that tracks, that sort of, like, okay, well, this is gonna happen, and if this happens, I don't want to die a virgin, which is so funny, but true.
Right. And not as depicted as often on film as, like, a dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't see it. You don't see movies about... You do, but it's kind of, like, through a male gaze, where it's, like, this fetishized thing about, like, teenage girl sexuality. But this was very... I didn't feel like that at all. And, like I said, it was a movie made by women. So you just get this... There's just this realism to it. That doesn't feel exploited.
It's authentic to the girl experience.
Yes.
And I can say the same thing about Disney Pixar's Turning Red.
Oh, yeah.
That quintessential girlhood experience. Like, you're into a boy band, you write fan fiction about it, you write sexually explicit fan fiction about it. Like, that, it speaks to girlhood. Like, that's, I mean, I'm not saying that boys don't do that too, but, like, it's something so authentic to me, and I think that that makes it really work.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was reading, earlier I was reading reviews of Lisa Frankenstein. Like I said, it didn't get great reviews. It got mixed reviews. And I'm just, and all I could think was, well, you know what? It's not for you. you know, you have some 50-year-old white man talk about how the movie didn't work for him. I'm just like, well, it's not for you, Bill.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not. It's not. For you. Yeah, no, I get you. Like, no, that movie was for me, and that movie was for you. Like,
totally.
It's not for, you know.
Yeah. Which then raises the question for me, who is Poor Things for?
Because
apparently, exactly.
Poor Things is for Yorgos. It's for Yorgos. Like, it's for him and for Emma. Like, it's for them.
Yeah, and it's so weird to me that it has, like, this...
Actually, just kidding, it's for the Oscars.
Yeah, Oscar bait, for sure. It's just so strange to me that, like, it would have, like, a 92% and be so, like, widely acclaimed. But when I watch it, it's apparently for a lot of people, but that doesn't ring true to me. I'm just like, who is this for?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't... I don't know. What were you going to say?
It's for dudes that want to see Emma Stone's tits.
That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. That being said, can I tell you about my favorite part of Poor Things?
Yes.
Duncan Wedderburn.
Oh, my God.
That was my favorite fucking part. My favorite part. I can't help it. I love Mark Ruffalo.
I love Mark Ruffalo, too.
He was so hot at the beginning of that movie, and I love how she destroyed him. That part of the movie was for us. That part was for us.
That's, you know, true.
I mean? Like, she, like, because he was, like, just being a shit, and he took her away, and they were, like, you know, she was just, like, give me that dick, and he was, like, I can't recover, and then she just basically discovered all of this about him, and, like, he got... Like, he was trying to play it off like he was so cool and suave and he wouldn't catch feelings. But then he immediately caught feelings for her, and, like, it just destroyed his life. That part of that movie, that was for me. That part was for me. I love that part. I love Duncan Wedderburn. Like, I don't know what it was. And I love when she's, like, in London and she's talking to Max, and she's like, Wedderburn was, like, he was displeased with my whoring, and I was like, that's so funny. It was so, that was my favorite part. Oh my God, that dance scene that they did. Oh, was, like, so good. I wanted, like, I liked that. I just thought that, like, really long second act with all of the, like, with the whorehouse was too long. It could have been more concise.
Yeah, I wanted a little more whimsy. Like,
yes,
the dance is a perfect example of, like, some whimsy. I was like, I could have done with some more of that. Thanks, actually.
Yeah, Yeah.
I think Mark Ruffalo's, not to like oversell it, but like I think his performance was very brave. If you read interviews with him, he was so self-conscious to do this role. It's so unlike him. And yeah. He didn't think he was suited for it. And he kept making jokes because like on the soundstage next door, Oscar Isaacs was filming something. And he kept joking that he was like, I'm going to get fired and they're going to replace me with Oscar. Because like.
I see. I don't think it would have worked with Oscar. I mean, it could have. No. Yeah, Oscar's amazing. It could have. But for some reason, it needed to be Mark Ruffalo. And he was so hot. Like, I was watching it last night, and that dance scene, I was like, God, I've never wanted to fuck Mark Ruffalo more. Like, this, like, I was like, oh my God. And then, like, him just literally, like, just spiraling, ending up in the asylum, being the one to, like, bring the body's husband back. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. And he looked like a hot wreck then. You know what I mean? Like, he was completely destroyed. I don't know. That part was for me.
I love it. They like, I was reading about his styling, the character styling, and they wanted to, Yorgos wanted that character to kind of look like a puffed up pigeon.
Yeah. And okay, I see that.
Yeah, right. And he does that with his performance and his physicality. And originally they were going to like literally puff up his chest with a prosthetic piece, but it looked too silly. So they ended up like cinching his waist. So he's wearing a corset under all his suits. And like he just, the way he moves at the beginning of that movie, he's so pompous mm-hmm. that he's just like, he does look like a puffed up proud pigeon. And then by the end is a complete wreck. There's something more vulnerable for me in Mark versus say like an Oscar. I don't know if Oscar could have played as destroyed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes. He would have been hot though. Like, I mean, you know, that's what you're gonna do. He's hot. Like,
very hot. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's why I will always, always appreciate Denis Villeneuve and his like ode to Oscar Isaac's body with that one long side nude shot. Thank you, Denny. Thank you.
Yeah, like pretty great.
Thank you so much. Like I appreciated that. Thank you so much. Like, we needed that. It was tasteful.
It was tasteful. It was beautiful. It's a good shot. I still need to watch Dune 2. It's not streaming yet, is it?
It's renting and for expensive.
It'll be on Max sooner rather than later.
I know, it needs to be there like now so I can watch it again and again and again and again.
Have you worn your shirt yet? Your Dune shirt?
I don't know where it is. Yes, I did, but I don't know where it is.
Oh, shit.
I want to find it and wear it to school this week.
Yeah.
I bet I know where it is. Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, this is going to be a short episode. I didn't really want to pontificate about it too much. I just was interested in hearing your thoughts. And these were some of the things that I had been thinking about, like comparing the two.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting coincidence that they both were released the same year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody mentioned to me today that they saw something and it inspired them to read Frankenstein. And I was like, that's awesome.
You know, that's funny. There are two more Frankenstein movies coming out because Guillermo's doing his, right?
Yeah.
But Maggie Gyllenhaal is doing one too. She's directing one.
All right, Maggie.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me. Going to Google. Because I think Guillermo's is going to have Tall Mick. Handsome from Jacob Elordi, that's his name.
Oh, really?
I think he's going to be the monster. I think originally it was going to be Andrew Garfield, but I think Andrew had a dip for some reason and they replaced him with Jacob Elordi.
Who's playing Frankenstein for Guillermo or the doctor? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so the bride of Maggie Gyllenhaal is making The Bride of Frankenstein. With Christian Bale as Frankenstein's monster.
Okay.
And Jesse Buckley as the bride. I love Jesse Buckley. She's that girl. You would probably recognize her if you saw her.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's look up Guillermo's It's so funny how many there are going on at the same time. Guess
Is it
who the
Oscar?
doctor is? It's Oscar!
Oh, yeah.
Mia Goth, Oscar Isaacs, Jacob Elordi as the monster, Christoph Waltz. Oh my god.
Who's Christoph Waltz playing?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't care. I'm just excited.
Guillermo won't let me down.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. It's still in production, so it's expected to come out in 2025. I don't know how far Maggie's is in.
So long from now.
I know. It's going to be cool.
Guillermo, please. He just understands me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He just gets me.
You know what this is making me want to do? It's making me want to rewatch that Mary Shelley movie.
Oh.
yeah. The one with, what's her name? Dakota's sister. Elle Fanning plays Mary Shelley in a bio movie, and it's really good, and I want to rewatch it.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
It's good. I think it's, free on Prime. Just check it out. Because Mary Shelley is fascinating.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I want to teach Frankenstein. But my classes are focused on more on like American lit, so
yeah.
Oh my god. But what if I do it through a film lit through film class?
That would be amazing. That'd be dope. What are you, you're about to do Lord Gatsby, right?
What? Oh, yes, I am doing Gatsby. Like, they're getting to the climax chapter 7 this week, which I'm actually kind of excited about, because I feel like this will be, like, a lot of, like, aha, and, like, it's got all the action, mm-hmm. So I think they'll enjoy it. I hope they will. I don't think they hate it, per se. Like, I did not like it the first time I read it, but now the second time around, like, I have really enjoyed it, so I'm glad to, because that means Heather won't have to murder me. So, I really enjoyed it now, so I'm just like, okay, I think I was just too young, and I didn't get it. Oh,
yeah.
Shoot. Oh, what? Okay, sorry, I thought I almost hung up on you, because I, like, touched my phone, but, I'm hoping that they enjoy it, and then we're gonna finish Gatsby, and then watch the movie. And hopefully that gets me to the end of the year with my juniors.
Cool.
So, it'll be fun. And I get to do a lit through film class next year.
That's really exciting. I would love something like that.
Yeah, and it's literally an excuse for me to watch Lord of the Rings at work.
Well, you know, do what you gotta do.
You gotta make your own fun. I hope it's fifth period too. I wanna be like, can you make this fifth period? I think that's the best time to watch a movie. I'm not kidding. Oh, fifth period's always the worst. So I'd rather just come upstairs and watch a movie.
Yeah. It's fine. I'm so envious of you, because I was talking to my friend about it. I was like, my friends have like the hardest job in the world, and they teach teenagers, and I'm just so proud of them and in awe of them. And then I remember they have summers off, and then I'm just like, oh, you guys suck. He's like, they deserve it. I was like, yeah, they do. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just like, man.
I'm going to go back to the theater, just because I feel like I'm going to need something to do. So I'm going to, and also I just miss those free movie perks, even though I've barely paid for a movie since I left. I just show up and they're like, okay, where do you want to sit? And I'm like, okay. unless my friend Brian will buy tickets, like pre-buy tickets, and I'm like, why did you do that? Like, we literally don't have to do that.
Brian whatever. Out here single-handedly supporting the arts.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. Okay. You know how many free movies I've watched.
All right, well, do you have any final thoughts on Lisa Frankenstein and or Poor Things?
I need to watch Lisa Frankenstein again, because I really did enjoy it. I liked I loved the 80s aesthetic. I think it worked really well. And also just like, I just, it was just good. It was for me. It was made for me.
Great.
And I'm mad that people don't like it because it's really good. And then Poor Things, I don't get me wrong. I did like it. I just have a lot of criticism, but I did like it. It just was I wasn't in the right headspace when I first started to watch it, but I was like, you know what, before we talk about this tomorrow, I had better watch the rest of it. So I came home from prom, I took off all my makeup and I sat down and I was diamond painting and I watched Poor Things and it was good.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad I watched it finally. Like, I'm glad I finished it because, like, the end part was like, I did not see that coming, yeah, like, at all. Like, I really didn't. And so I enjoyed it. Like, I just thought it was a little rushed.
Yeah.
But I loved that she, like, you know, what we didn't talk about, and I'm so sorry that I have to bring this up now, but I have to.
Oh, no.
So why do you think that Bella that worked, but Felicity didn't?
I don't. Oh, that's a good question.
Like, is it because he withheld like love and affection? Because he really worked with Bella, and then he realized he thought that because when she left, it broke his heart. So they tried again, and he stayed away. He was distant. Do we think that might be why? Or
that's a great theory. That's probably the case. Yeah.
But then, like, once they all started living together, I assume at Alfred's house. Was that Alfred's house, or was that Baxter's?
I don't know.
I assume that, like, that, because she finally caught the ball.
Right.
And they were like, okay, and, like, we were, like, moving on. But then I also liked, like, the little polycule that they had there at the end, too, with the, I can't remember her name, like, the French girl, and then Max and Bella. Like, they all live together with the nurse and Felicity. I don't know. And she was becoming a doctor.
It's funny. I completely forgot about the, because I, like I said, I only watched this once and it's been a minute. I completely forgot about the queer storyline, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to Poor Things for having that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, even...
It honestly makes sense, though, because, like, Bella doesn't know anything. Like, she's not, you know, she's learning. She's learning about the world. She finds the world fascinating, which I do like. I enjoyed that, like, sort of discovery, like, plot point. I feel so prudish. There's too much sex.
You know, another theory about the Felicity thing, which I think speaks volumes to the crapshoot that is science, really, is it could be as simple as the fact that the fetus that was used to create Bella was destined or was genetically predisposed in whatever way to be intelligent, to be inquisitive, to be developmentally advanced. And the crapshoot of whatever they used to make Felicity was just never meant to be. You know what I mean? That baby could have grown up to have been disadvantaged in some way. And that's the risk you take in that kind of experiment.
Yeah, and it could have been an environmental thing too, where like the fetus wasn't as fresh or whatever.
Right.
Like it could be something like as simple as that too. I guess. You know what? The other thing that I really liked, when Alfie kept pulling the gun on her and she just like she just stood at it and she's like, I would rather be dead than be a fucking prisoner or whatever. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was badass.
That was like, hell yeah. Because she was like, I'm going to call his bluff. And I really genuinely enjoyed Bella Baxter as a character. Like, I liked it.
Yeah. Emma did a great job.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. So, sorry, I had to spiral out there at the end because, I mean, you know.
No, I'm glad. That's why I always ask for final thoughts, because it always, you know, potentially drums up more questions.
Yeah.
So to those listening, if you want to check out Lisa Frankenstein, it is streaming on Peacock. If you want to check out Poor Things, it is streaming on Hulu. Speaking of things that are streaming, I believe A couple months ago, Heather and I did an episode on Miller's Girl, which I know, not very people saw that movie, but it is now available on Netflix, I think. So if you want to check it out for free now and let's go listen to that episode, please do, because it's very funny. Because Heather hated that movie, and it was a blast listening to her bitch about
Okay.
Yeah, and I want you to watch that movie eventually too. You'll hate it too, but it would be funny to hear you talk about it. But yeah, thank you so much, Julie, for joining me. I know this is kind of the last minute, end of the month deal, but I appreciate you sitting
Awesome.
down talking with me.
Hey, no worries. Anytime.
And thank you all for listening. Join us next month. It'll probably be at the end of the month too. I have no idea what we're going to talk about next month. We'll see. It'll be a surprise for both of
Paddington
us.
too.
No. Right. Well, thank you again for listening. And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.
Thank you.